Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzler. The headline in The Hill: Supreme Court lifts orders blocking Trump from deporting Venezuelans under Alien Enemies Act. I welcome Professor John Yu at the Civitas Institute, writing about this and writing in the National Review Online as well about the case of Venezuelans accused of alleged members of the violent Venezuelan gang, the Trendyaragua, being deported by the Trump administration to El Salvador, and that being a denial of a due process to these individuals, many of whom, some of whom deny they are members of Trendyaragua. What happens them in El Salvador is not transparent, but Nayib Bukele, the president of El Salvador, is a man who has solved the crime problem in El Salvador by building very large jails and keeping thousands of young people in jail for long periods of time. So it doesn't suggest there's justice at the other end of the airplane ride. Professor, very good evening to you. You write most recently at the National Review Online, "The courts overstep in the messy clash with Trump over Trendyaragua." We better establish some details here. What is the Alien Enemies Act that is at the center of this authority that the president's administration has taken upon itself? Good evening to you, John.
Good evening, John. It's great to be with you. The Alien Enemies Act is a law that comes to us from 1798. It was passed in the days when we thought we were going to have a naval war against France. It's always been a disappointment to me that we've never been to war with France. But there was going to be a, eventually it was called the quasi-war with France. The law says in a time of a declared war or an invasion or predatory incursion by another country, the government can detain and remove citizens of that country. This is something that nations have always done during wartime. And the United States has used this law during declared wars, most recently in World War II, but never outside a declared war. So one of the important questions here, putting aside the courts and their role, but one of just the important questions here, is President Trump said that the government of Venezuela basically controls this gang, Trendyaragua. And so the drug cartel or gangs, terrorist organization, whatever you want to call it, activities in the United States, drug running, violence, taking over apartment buildings, is really like an invasion and justifies the use of this law then to detain them and remove them from the country outside of regular immigration procedures.
The puzzle is, has that ever happened before where a criminal gang, romantically, I'm thinking of the Black Hand, the mafioso of legend in the early part of the 20th century, treated by the U.S. government as an invasion by an alien force? Did anybody talk that way back then?
That's a great question, John. The nearest thing I could think of that would be comparable from the time of the 18th century would be mercenaries or pirates. But never in our history have we used this outside the context of a declared war. We've used it in the War of 1812 and World Wars I and II. And never in the case of claiming that there was some kind of covert or irregular band of fighters who were trying to infiltrate the U.S. Something like Al-Qaeda, for example. But this time, unlike Al-Qaeda, really acting as an arm of a foreign government? Because that's an important thing to recall. The Alien Enemies Act requires that there be a hostile nation at the other end of it. And so President Trump's invocation of it is, as many of the things he's been doing these almost 100 days now, is unprecedented.
To your article at the National Review Online, it is important to emphasize that the courts have gotten involved in this right away. An appeals court decision, 2-1, stopped the deportation of those accused of being Trinidad-Aragua, and that is what the Supreme Court has spoken to, where it stops the stop, and that it goes now for further court procedure. Why are the courts inappropriate for this particular detail, John?
That's a great question, and what I wanted to do in the piece is to say in this whole controversy, there's two separate questions. One is just a president in good faith, or a Congress in good faith, or you and me as citizens, we read the law and we try to figure out, does this case fall within the law? That's a separate question from what the judges should do. Is this a case where we think our system wants judges to, in a sense, second guess or review the decisions of the president and Congress? Remember, this is a law passed by Congress that delegates this power to the president. Do we want courts to second guess their decision? And so one point I wanted to make is that our federal courts have never overturned a decision by the president or the president acting with Congress that there is a national emergency or that there's been an invasion or a war. The leading case on this is from the Civil War, the very beginning of the Civil War. There's a case called the Prize Cases, which involves ships that were seized by the Union Navy before Congress met and authorized President Lincoln's extraordinary actions. And so the owners of the ships went to the Supreme Court and said, give us our ships back. There was no declared war. There was no war going on when the Navy seized our cargo vessels. And the Supreme Court said, it's not the place of the courts to review whether a war has started. That's up to the elected branches of government. How would the courts even know or be able to decide or take evidence? So one way to understand what the Supreme Court is doing is slowing our courts down, because the courts in this case, in the Venezuelan case, I think have rushed to judgment. This lower federal courts, some of the intermediate appeals courts, they've already rushed and said, this is not invasion. The law doesn't apply. President Trump's acting illegally. And the Supreme Court has, in a way, it's not really addressing what Trump has done. It is disciplining the lower court judges, saying, slow down. Don't rush to judgment. Take your time. Make sure the case is brought in the right court. Make sure that's the right plaintiffs before you start addressing some of the most serious constitutional questions there could be, like, is the president properly finding that a war is going on or an invasion has occurred?
I lack a law degree, so I ask a simple amateur question. It is surprising to me that Marbury versus Madison always turns up in these matters. Always. It seems to be the touchstone that drives decision-making by the courts ever since. Is that relevant here, Marbury versus Madison? Did they establish the limits of judicial authority?
Well, John, I'm glad you didn't go to law school and showed up in my classes, because you're asking questions that are way too hard. That's an excellent question. And it's a very profound question. And you know, one of our goals is to get students to think this way. If you look at Marbury, you're quite right. Marbury says the federal courts are there to interpret the Constitution. And then Chief Justice Marshall says, improperly brought cases or controversies. And he makes clear the Supreme Court's not just there to pronounce what the Constitution means. The Supreme Court's there to decide real cases. And when the cases involve the Constitution coming into conflict with Congress or the president, then it interprets the Constitution. And there's language in Marbury that seems to address this question. Chief Justice Marshall also says in Marbury, there are certain questions which are not legal, but which are political in nature and are reserved to the other branches and which judicial review cannot extend to. As a matter of practice, that seems to include whether wars and invasions have occurred. So in the article of mine that you graciously mentioned, I wanted to remind readers and remind the court that while we do live in this period where the courts are very self-confident, over American history, it has been very deferential to the other branches when it comes to questions of war and foreign policy. And so I said, if they're going to intervene in this kind of case and take the momentous step of overturning President Trump's decision that we are actually under invasion, it better act slowly and deliberately and make sure it has all the facts and the most thorough legal arguments before it takes that dramatic step.
I learned from your article with Mr. Delahunty that there's been a moment of indecision as to whether the courts can or cannot get involved in many of the major conflicts we've had for the last 240 years. It seems to always come up in some fashion. You note the War of 1812. The courts chose not to review the decision. Is this something that happens every time there's a war? Somebody comes forward and says, stop this now. We need more information, or we need to be heard by the courts. Does that happen every time, John? Did that happen your time in the administration? Did that happen with the various Gulf Wars and the Iraq War? Somebody came forward and said, stop.
Yes, quite right, actually. And I think the 9/11 attacks are a good example. Basically, someone's after World War II, and all these wars that have not been declared with Congress, you mentioned Korea, Vietnam, the Gulf War, the second war against Iraq, 9/11. Someone has always sued to try to get the courts involved to thumbs up or thumbs down on whether the war is constitutional. And the courts have always, including the Supreme Court, either said this is a question we can't decide, or it's of the kind that Chief Justice John Marshall was talking about, a political question that's not really legal. And 9/11 was very similar, and this is something we're trying to draw an analogy to. A lot of people, including some of the leading law professors in the United States, brought suit or came to the court as friends of the court and said, the 9/11 attacks were not a war. This is a terrorist attack. It's criminal. It's illegal for the United States under the Constitution to use military responses to the 9/11 attacks. It doesn't have the feet. There's no foreign country that we're fighting. It's a gang. And in the Supreme Court case, this is a case called Hamdi, it decided in 2004. The Supreme Court said, no, the president has found it's a war. Congress passed a law finding it's a war. We accept their judgment. We defer to them. It's a different kind of war because it's this terrorist group, not a foreign country. But that's a decision that's up to them. So I thought that if that same logic applied here, the courts should step back. Now, that doesn't mean the war is constitutional. That just means that the war or invasion, the decision is up to others. And so in the end, if people want to have the government stop the war, they should call the branch in that has the other half of the say, which is Congress. One reason I think people are running to the courts right now is because Congress hasn't said anything and they have no recourse other than go to the courts. But this really would be asking the courts to act in an unprecedented way, too.
I'm speaking to Professor John Yoo, writing at the National Review Online with his colleague, Robert Delahunty. John is a distinguished visiting professor at the School of Civic Leadership and senior research fellow at the Civitas Institute, the University of Texas. He's also the Heller Professor of Law at the University of California at Berkeley. And when we come back, what is to be done? Part of the challenge right now is to define what is an invasion. And there's the promise that the Supreme Court is going to hear this case again.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.